She got out of bed, put on a robe, and went down the stairs to find her children eating a big breakfast at the kitchen table. And she said, "I thought you all were giving me a special surprise for Mother's Day." They said, "We are. It's Mother's Day, so you didn't have to fix our breakfast for us today." Fixed our own breakfast today on Mother's Day.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light. I'm Daniel Britt, and we're all set to hear Alan's message from Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in a series called Just Say It. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource available to you right now for your gift to Sharing the Light this month. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at sharingthelight.org or by phone at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on this later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here now is Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news? God has so designed you that you get to participate with Him in speaking life into the world. We are in a little series I call Just Saying, about the life-changing power of our words. And today we come to an absolutely marvelous story that I feel like I could just dwell upon and preach and preach and preach because of the richness of the imagery. A well-known prophetic story from the life of Ezekiel, who was a prophet during the Babylonian exile period. And he longed to be in ministry back in Jerusalem, but he's hundreds of miles away from a temple that will soon be no more. And God brings through him encouragement to the people, for God has plans to restore. And here we are in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army." It was Mother's Day, and two children went upstairs to their mother's bedroom and said, "Mom, you just stay in bed. We got a special surprise." And so she smiled, and pretty soon she heard her little boy and girl clanking around the kitchen downstairs. She heard the toaster popping out toast. Pretty soon heard the sizzle of bacon, smelled its aroma wafting up the stairs. Heard them scrambling eggs, and she just was waiting. And she waited, and she waited, and nobody came. So finally, she got out of bed, put on a robe, and went down the stairs to find her children eating a big breakfast at the kitchen table. And she said, I thought you all were giving me a special surprise for Mother's Day. They said, we are. It's Mother's Day, so you didn't have to fix our breakfast for us today. Fixed our own breakfast today on Mother's Day. I heard about a little six-year-old first grader who was so excited he was going to have a baby brother or sister. And he would tell his first grade teacher every day about it. He just went on and on about it. Well, one day when he was at home, his mother let the little six-year-old boy, let her son come over and feel her tummy, because the baby was really kicking and moving around a lot. And he felt, and he was quite taken by it, but he didn't say anything. And from that time on, he was quiet at his first grade class. And eventually his first grade teacher said, well, what's become of that baby brother or sister that you talked so much about? And he just burst into tears and he said, I think my mommy ate it. You know, God could have designed us any way that he wanted, right? He could bring us into this world any way that he wanted. He's the creator. But as he designed it, he allowed us this incredible privilege of participating in the process of the miracle of life. God's alive, and there's something in him that delights in having made us in his image, that we are participants, not the authors, but participants co-missioned with Christ for the impartation of life. And Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. And I want to talk to you today about the incredible power of your mouth to speak life to dead bones. Let me just start with this. Isn't life amazing? Life is good. And God is alive, and so he loves living things. And the whole world is just teeming with life. I got a little bit lost this week looking around at the unusual places where you can find life in this world, like in the bubbling pitch lake on Trinidad Island, which is the is burning tar, basically. And they have found that there are millions of microscopic organisms that feed on hydrocarbon and live there. That's their home. Or in hydrothermal vents in the Pacific Ocean depths, you've always heard that boiling water kills everything. Not so. There are tube worms that love living in pressure 500 times what is normal in boiling, scalding hydrothermal vents. The dry valleys of Antarctica that are so cold and dry that scientists say it resemble Mars, and there are bacteria that live there without air or light. I found out there's a jellyfish that, when sick or stressed, can revert to its younger self so it can get strong and mature again. And then it grows and gets sick or stressed and becomes young again. They call it an immortal jellyfish. We need to figure out the secret of this creature, right? And just one more that has absolutely nothing to do with my sermon, but did you know that there is a saber-toothed deer? It is true. That's all I'm going to say about that. God loves life, and there's just a variety of life, infinite variety. Every imaginable place, there's something like a force that just life is happening everywhere, because God made this, and he is alive, and he wills for there to be life.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Allen's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
When Jesus came to Lazarus's tomb, he wept, even though he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, because death is grievous. And when he spoke, he said this at John 11:23, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Life. God's for life. And so he takes Ezekiel in the spirit from all of the weeping in Babylon. And he takes him to a valley and shows him all of these bones. Let's just walk through this text. Verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. Full of bones. There are more skeletons waiting to be awakened than you realize. The world is full of dry bones that, if they were to receive the word of life, would rattle, connect, and come alive. He just showed them all these bones. And then, I like this at verse 2, he led me around among them. Behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And I wonder what God did here in the spirit. Did he take him by the hand and just take him through this big valley and show him these bones, and then show him these bones, and show him these bones? You'd think bones are bones, but he just led him around. I think sometimes God does that with us. He just wants to take somebody who's willing to look and show them in the valley. Look at this wayward child who could live. Look at this seemingly lifeless ministry that has only a skeleton. It could be vibrant. Look at this relationship that seems like it's utterly gone. It could be revived. Look at this fledgling church. It could do great things. Look at this. And he just led him around and showed him all of the dry bones. And they were, according to Ezekiel 37:2, very dry. We have a figure of speech to call something really dry and say it's bone dry. It's the image of bones that have been out in the sun and parched, one of the driest things. And so that's what Ezekiel saw. They were very, very dry. You know, it's very important to understand, especially as we're talking about speaking life, that this is not an invitation from God to be in denial and to pretend that things that are aren't. And so there was no pretending. These were dry, dry, dry bones. There's something important about being willing to acknowledge something for what it is. These bones are the skeleton. They symbolize the inward structure of something. God gave him these skeletons, so to speak, and then he wanted Ezekiel to envision them being fleshed out. That's a phrase we use, right? If you have an idea that's just bare bones, we say, well, flesh that out for me a little bit. because the skeleton is only a starting point, but I can't envision it all. But he wanted Ezekiel to envision it and see it. You know, most things start as just a mere skeleton of something. Whatever it is that you do, whatever God calls you to do, it usually will start that way. You know, generally that's what I do is in preaching or writing, whatever. It starts as a skeleton. It starts as some bones. Usually a sermon for me starts with a seed that I think comes from the Holy Spirit. And then there'll be a few ideas and I'll just write them down, and just like a skeleton. And from there, the Holy Spirit begins to flesh it out and put sinew on it. That's the way that I would write a book, right? You outline it, and then from there it grows into something that's alive. And whatever it is that God gives your hand to do, it most likely starts as just a skeleton. And so at verse 3, he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Can these bones live? And when God, who is omniscient, asks you a question, it is not so he can find out some information that he did not know. When an all-knowing God asks you a question, it is more for your benefit. Can these bones live? I would like for you to consider what you think about these skeletal remains. I would like for you to engage in a faith enterprise and think with me about what is possible. And I'll tell you, beloved, the greatest thing in your whole life, and you look back on it, will be when there were some bones that you believed could live, and you set your mind towards it in accord with God's plan. It's just the greatest, most fun thing in all the world. I mean, anybody can take something that's already living and breathing and thriving and manage it, but you take something that God says, "I want these bones to live," and you believe, crazy belief, that it could happen, and you give your participation to it, it's one of the greatest things in the world. You know, I look back with such fondness on my first church in Durham, a precious, precious group of people. And they themselves, the ones that were there when I arrived, they weren't dry bones. They were ready. But the church itself was dry bones because we had 117 on the roll. And I just thought, in our little sanctuary, I thought my first Sunday is just going to be so packed. And it just seemed about half full. I think we only seated 140 people in that room and something like that. And I was so disappointed. And afterwards, they told me this is the most people they'd had in years. And so I realized that it wasn't 117 as advertised. We had 50 or 60, you know, solid ones. And I just felt like the Lord is putting it in my heart, that can these bones live? Can this church grow? And just such a young man, I thought, yeah, it can. It can. You know, it's so funny, you know, the way a crazy little faith like that works. And I really believed, I don't know if anybody else believed it, but we had, one of the things we had going for us was, part of our bones, was we had a Wednesday night dinner that was pretty well attended. We'd have 40 or 50 people at that Wednesday night dinner, and that was strong. And they've been doing it for years and years. And so I said, well, let's build on that a little bit. And I said, why don't we do some content? Because all we did was just ate food. And I said, maybe we could do some spiritual food as well. And they said, well, that's all right. What do you want to do? I said, well, I could teach some. We could have some special guests come. And they said, like who? And I said, well, why don't we invite Pastor Al Edwards to come? They said, Al Edwards? I said, yeah. He was the pastor at First Presbyterian Church, Raleigh, for many years, and was on TV. So he was famous in the area. And he had a Scottish brogue, which, you know, that made him more spiritual also. And he was a great guy. He was a great communicator. And they said, well, Al Edwards not going to come over here to our little church. I said, well, could I ask him? And they said, well, yeah. And so I called up Al Edwards and said, I'm Alan Wright at Mount Bethel Presbyterian Church. He said, who? Where? And He came over and spoke. He gave a great talk, and everybody came out and heard Al Edwards. They said, wow, you know, our esteem went up a little bit because Al Edwards had come to our church. And so later I said, how about we have Bob Walkup come? And they said, Bob Walkup, he was a pastor at a Presbyterian church in Raleigh that at the time was one of the top 10 fastest growing churches in the country. God was doing some amazing things in that church. It was absolutely astounding. And so I called up Bob Walkup and said, it's Alan Wright, Mount Bethel Presbyterian Church. He said, who? Where? And but Bob Walkup came, and now he was a pretty traditional Presbyterian pastor. But he came and he stood up to speak at our wonderful Wednesday night. And he said, Alan, he said, I never do this kind of thing. I know we just met. He said, but I was riding over here, and he said, I distinctly felt drawn to this passage in Acts chapter 18, verse 9. Speaking of Paul and Corinth, the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I'm with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. And he said, I just think God wanted me to tell you, do not be afraid, go on speaking, don't be silent, because he has many in this city to be with you. Well, you know what he did there? He spoke life into me. He was leading one of the fastest growing churches in the country, and he came to my little bitty church on a Wednesday night with our 40 or 50 people and spoke life into the bones. And that little church grew and grew. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, oh, Lord God, you know. What a great answer. You know, if God asks you a question, it's a good thing to kind of turn and say, what do you think the answer is, Lord? If it's right. If you're with somebody smarter than you, and they ask a difficult question, you probably want to find out what they think about the answer to the question. Lord, you know, he was in a sense saying, I want to say yes, but in the natural, I can't say yes, but in the spirit, I'd like to agree with you, and if you believe that it's possible, then I'm going to believe that it's possible. You see, faith is not your belief in your ability. Faith is your belief in God's ability.
Alan Wright. Today's teaching, How What You Say Can Bring Forth Life, in our series, Just Saying. Stick with us. Pastor Alan is back here in the studio sharing our parting good news thought for the day in just a moment.
Stress is inevitable. Becoming stressed out is optional. You can't avoid the stresses of life. Life will always bring its stressful seasons. There are busy seasons, difficult seasons, and there are seasons of outright spiritual attack. We all know that life can be stressful, but by the power of the gospel, you don't have to be stressed out in the midst of it. In fact, the stressful times of life can lead you into deeper places of trust and peace in the Lord. If you want to grow deep during stressful times, there's no better place to turn than the Psalms. There's a psalm for every season. We want to send you Pastor Alan's CD album, Growing Deep During Stressful Times, a psalm for every season. Stressful seasons come and go, but you can grow deep roots in the grace of God that will enable you to stand strong no matter what. Make your gift today and discover how to grow deep during life's most stressful times.
Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, sharingthelight.org. Back with Pastor Alan in the studio, our parting good news thought for the day, and that's become a very good phrase, very common phrase, I think, and it's a good one. Speak life.
Speak life. Interestingly, going to be in the subtitle of the book that I'll have coming out next year,
yeah.
The Power to Bless, How to Speak Life and Empower the People You Love. That's really, in a sense, what we're talking about, because it is to say that if we believe what God has to say about the power of our words, then we believe that there's the power of life and death in the tongue. That seeds, like your words are like seeds, and they're either seeds of destruction or they're seeds of life. And it changed everything in my life when I began to realize we've got this gift of life we can give just in our words to other people. That's what we're learning about.
So in a real sense, when God says to Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? There's a sense in which everything we're looking at in our life, it can seem so dry. And the first and most important thing we do is to speak life to it.
This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.